Each year, the 17th of March is a significant date for Free Presbyterianism worldwide. No, it's not because it is St. Patrick's Day, though it is, but it's because the Free Presbyterian Church as a denomination in Northern Ireland was founded on the 17th of March, 1951. On that date, a brand new biblical witness for Christ was born in a small village in County Down, the village of Crossgar. As a result of the high-handed actions of the Down Presbytery, the elders of the local Presbyterian church at Lasara were prohibited from using their church hall for a gospel campaign. And when the elders refused to acquiesce in the decision of their presbytery, they were immediately suspended. All of that took place just less than 24 hours or so before the mission was due to commence. Now those elders, those men of God, had no doubt as to what their duty was. They could not go back to their church without denying or compromising the gospel as they saw it. And that was something that they refused to do. So they decided there and then to leave a denomination that had no difficulty permitting dances and parties of various kinds to take place in its church halls, but who in this case banned the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So these brethren proceeded with the help of a young 24-year-old preacher, the Reverend Ian R. K. Paisley, their guest evangelist, and a man who had ministered in South America, the Reverend George Steers, a Presbyterian minister. Together they proceeded to form what became known as the Presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster. The Crossgar people were quickly joined by Mr. Paisley's own independent congregation in Belfast, Ravenhill Evangelical Church. It formed the second congregation in the presbytery. And in the months that followed, two more congregations sprang up as a result of Dr. Paisley's evangelistic ministry. And these churches seceded from the Irish Presbyterian Church. One at Cabra, and the other, I believe, at Risharkin. Later in 1952, they were joined by the Belfast congregation that was just formed in Mount Merion, a church where I have the privilege of being born into, and then later serving as its minister for over 5 years. The growth of the Free Presbyterian denomination continued through the years until its witness spread to all the counties of Northern Ireland and beyond. And today, there are congregations that are affiliated to the Free Presbyterian Church and to its sister presbyteries in the Republic of Ireland, on the mainland of the United Kingdom, in Scotland, in England, and in Wales. There are congregations in Australia. There are congregations in North America, of course, here in the United States and up in Canada. There are churches in various stages of formation in Mexico, in the Czech Republic, and we have various mission stations in Africa. Truly the Lord has blessed, at least in some degree and measure, that early stand that was taken by men of God in Crossgar. Now already today, we noted two things about the legacy of the church on this, its 70th anniversary. We talked about the Free Presbyterian Church and its origin. But we also talked about the Free Presbyterian Church and its opposition. The opposition felt by the church from the apostasy, political opposition, and ecclesiastical opposition, and even social opposition. But then we talk about the opposition that the Free Presbyterian Church itself has shown toward apostasy. And the church has been noted throughout its history for its strong voice against ecumenical Protestantism, against Romanism, and against charismatism and every false teaching. We are still, I believe, by God's grace, set for the defense of the gospel. And while we are far from perfect, there is no perfect church this side of heaven, yet we're thankful that we are a Protestant church, that we are a church that believes in witnessing for the truth. And we are a church that believes, as the late Dr. Paisley often said, the best is yet to be, and the end is not yet. Praise the Lord. I want us to think this evening upon the subject of going forward. I've given folks today somewhat of a history lesson, very brief, very spotty, and you could do a lot of independent reading about the history of our church that will fill in many gaps for you. But we have a glorious history under God. There's no doubt about that. We're thankful for all the protests that were held, for all the times of preaching that were done, for the precious souls that were converted, for the churches that have been established, for the mission stations that have been started, and for all that has been done under God, we give Him thanks. But we do not want to be mere historians. I always feel when it comes to the subject of revival, for example, that there's a great danger of Christians in our day living in the past. I believe in studying revival. I believe in reading accounts of revival for this reason. Not only does it stir up within our hearts thanksgiving to God for what He has done in days that are gone, but it also stirs up within our hearts a longing that such things might happen again. When I read about revival, I like to think of the prayers of Scripture for revival that we can still employ today. For example, the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 85, verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Lord, thou hast done it before. Wilt thou not do it again? And we're reminded of this as well in the prophet Habakkuk. In chapter 3 of his prophecy, verse 2, he says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. A lot has gone into the past. A lot of time has elapsed. A lot of work has been done. We're in the midst of the years. But even now, can we not pray, Lord, in the midst of the years, make known, and in wrath, remember mercy. The work of God has a future. And we should want to be part of that future, whether it be inside or outside the Free Presbyterian denomination, is of little consequence to some degree, because the Church of Jesus Christ is much bigger than any denomination or group of churches. But I'm speaking about our denomination at the moment and our particular denominations in Ulster and in North America, where we are affiliated to the Free Church of Ulster through full fraternal relations. And I'm thinking about the fact that the Free Presbyterian Church is marking its 70th anniversary. But we're not saying there's 70 years that have passed and now therefore it's all over. Because God forbid that that should be the case. We have read tonight in Acts chapter 16 the wonderful story of the outreach that was done by some of the apostles, men of God in the early New Testament church. And as I think of this, I think about what is my first point tonight, and that is the Free Presbyterian Church in its outreach. Acts 16 verse 5 records, "And so were the churches," plural, "established in the faith and increased in number daily." This is a record of an ongoing work of God. There were churches that had already been established. The great central hub of the work of God was in Jerusalem. But according to the Lord's own promise, they were going to be witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. There was going to be a branching out of the work of God. If you throw a stone into a lake or a pond, you see that there are ripples that go out from there. That's the way church history has been. The work of God has spread. The work of God has grown. Why is that? It's because the church of Jesus Christ is not merely to be a negative church. As someone rightly said, that if you have a battery-powered vehicle or implement, on every battery, in order for the power to go into that vehicle or into that implement, every battery must have a positive post and a negative post. And I think it's true as well when it comes to the work of God. There has to be that negative emphasis, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." There must be a separation from evil. A separation from evil in every form. And that includes ecclesiastical evil and compromise. Come out from among them. Don't stay in and join them. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That's viewed by many as a negative message, and it is to some degree. You're to come away from evil. But separation is not merely negative. It's a very positive thing. We are separated unto the gospel. We are separated unto Christ. To quote again that verse, it's very important that we think about this all the time. What we sang about in that hymn, "Outside the Camp." It's found in Hebrews 13 and verse 13. Let's read verse 12 as well. "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify," or set apart, "the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." You see that? There is this negative separation. But there is a very positive aspect to it. We are to go forth outside the gate, outside the camp, but it's unto him, and bearing the reproach that he himself is given. The Free Presbyterian Church has been, throughout its history, a positive force for God, I believe, because we have always stood for something. And tonight, by God's grace, we continue to stand for Christ, for his gospel, and for his holy word. And God has been pleased to bless the work. This denomination, certainly in Ulster and then in North America, it has always majored upon two things: preaching and prayer. When I was a young boy, my father, Billy Hamilton, used to take me to all kinds of meetings throughout the Ulster countryside, in churches, in mission halls, in the open air. He used to take us to gospel campaigns, to weeks of special meetings for believers. I used to stand with my dad from my earliest days in open air evangelism. My dad was involved in door-to-door work. And these were all features of our churches in those years and in those days. Those were times of difficulty. Often the churches were small. I could speak to you of some of the congregations that were never large, but where the people were very faithful. The church at Mount Marion, the church in Dunmurray, the church in John Knox Memorial, the church even at White Abbey, and various other congregations. They were not large at all. Usually there was a faithful band of believers, but they were faithful to the Lord in witnessing for him. And in many cases, from small beginnings and difficult early days, the work of God made significant progress. There are many who are now in glory, and some who are still with us, who could trace their conversion to the instrumentality under God of the Free Presbyterian Church and its ministers. How many people, even in the province today, can ever bless God for the day when the evangelist Ian R.K. Paisley came to their neighborhood and preached the gospel and their souls were saved? I think of some of the pioneers of our denomination, some of whom are now in glory: Dr. Paisley himself, the Reverend John Wiley. Mr. Wiley was instrumental in getting churches started in Cabra and Coleraine, in Clock Mills, and in various other places. He was the minister in Lurgan for a time. The Reverend Ivan Foster was used of God to start Bethel Free Presbyterian Church in Fermanagh, as well as the work in Keshe, and his own church there in Kilskerry, and the work in Clogher Valley under God, developed under his leadership. God used those men. People were saved. People were separated from the apostasy. And the word that God gave through Job was fulfilled in many cases. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. I don't think it would be wrong to say that from the early beginnings in Crossgar, particularly in the late 60s and into the 70s, there was phenomenal growth in the church within Ulster. Within Ulster. All over the province of Northern Ireland, churches were established. Other outreach churches were formed. And we could say of it all, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. I can recall myself the beginnings of some of those churches. Some of the beginnings were rather inauspicious. The hall in which the Lisbeth Free Presbyterian Church met under Mr. Foster was not exactly a beautiful edifice. It was more like a hen hut, as far as some people were concerned. The same would have been true of the church out there in Ardara, where there was a rather strange shaped building that used to be used as a firing range by one of the constabularies there. it was turned into a church. The church in Ballinahinch used to be a cinema, and it was turned from a movie theatre into a gospel preaching church. But I recall the days in Ballinahinch, the early days, when they met in an upper room, in a hired hall that was smoke filled from the night before. Sometimes the smell of booze was in there as well. The same was true in Cumber. I recall preaching in Cumber, in the Orange Hall, before they ever had their own church building. And that Orange Hall was stinking of booze and cigarettes from the night before. And yet people met there in order to raise up a testimony for Christ. And people who now worship in comfortable churches in Ulster and elsewhere should think about the fact that a lot of their forefathers were not meeting in such comfortable accommodations. But new buildings were erected under God, money provided by the Lord Himself, all over Ulster and indeed in other places. There are buildings that were built by the sacrificial giving of God's people. And through the goodness of the Lord, these houses of worship have been raised for the preaching of the glorious gospel of Christ. But our outreach was not only great within Ulster, it has also continued without Ulster. Outside the province, there has been missionary work that has been done. In various countries, even today, there are ministries taking place. I think of Africa, Uganda, Kenya, Liberia. I think of those congregations that have become mother churches to other works. Our own little work here in Walnutport is the daughter of the church in Malvern, Pennsylvania. There are other works that I could point to that were planted as a result of the efforts of other churches seeking to set up branch works in those areas. And oh, that the Lord might do that again. Oh, that that work might not be finished. And that right here in the US and up in Canada, the Lord would do a new thing and raise up further churches and raise up men to preach in those churches for His glory. I'm saying that in these 70 years, we have seen a small parochial Ulster church become worldwide in its outreach. And isn't that something that God desires of His church? We read in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 54, and verses 2 and 3. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. And oh, that our prayer might be, those of us who are already part of this witness, that the Lord would do this for us in these days and in the days to come. The devil wants to tell us the work will shrink, the work will get smaller and smaller until it fizzles out and it will be destroyed. Of course, that could happen if we're not faithful to the Lord. But surely can we not take promises such as these and plead them before the Lord, that He might give that growth that is needed? The last thing the Lord Jesus said before He went to heaven was in Mark 16 and verse 15. We know it well, don't we? He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The corresponding portion is Matthew 28. And we know that there the Lord said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. It means make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Can we not plead those words before God? Or Luke chapter 10 and verse 2. Therefore said he, Jesus, unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Can we not do this? Should we not do this today? Is it not the Lord's will that we continue with our outreach? There's a great harvest. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Send the light. Send the light. What can we do? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Lord, send forth the laborers into the harvest. They're needed. God help us to be a missions-minded people. In another place, the Lord Jesus said, the field is the world. There's no shortage of places to work. Thank God for the outreach so far, but there's much yet to be done. And that's why I'm talking tonight about going forward. Because we note not only the Free Presbyterian Church in its outreach, but the Free Presbyterian Church and its outlook. The church and its outlook. As I think about the history of the denomination of which I've been a member my entire life, I can be encouraged, I can be thankful for at least 6 decades of those 7 decades of its history. I was born into the Free Presbyterian Church. And just like the children of Israel, I think it's good for me and people like me to remember all the way which the Lord our God led us these years. But we must also take heed, like the children of Israel, to the future. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, there's a portion there which is very relevant to what we're talking about. Deuteronomy chapter 8 from verse 11, the Lord is speaking to his people about the blessings that they have known, the blessings that they will know. And he says this, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, and that's happened in some of our churches. The herds and the flocks have grown. They've got good-sized congregations. Their silver and their gold is multiplied. They meet in good buildings. They have a healthy bank account. Yet the Lord says, you're to beware, because then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this wealth. Oh, there's the tendency for us, isn't there, to pat ourselves in the back. What great people we are. How faithful we have been. What a wonderful church is the Free Church. Yet the Lord warns them here. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. There's always a danger for the church, that we forget the Lord, that we fail to acknowledge that all that we have is from His hand, and that without Him we can do nothing. In Joshua chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9, the Lord said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou discouraged or dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." What wonderful promises these are. But we are to beware lest we forget the Lord. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." But there's a danger that the book of God will depart out of the mouths of men. There could be, tragically, a turning from the book to the right hand or to the left. That happened in Israel. And it's happened to good churches. The very reason that the Free Presbyterian Church began in Ulster all those many years ago was that apostasy had come into a once great church, the Irish Presbyterian Church. You could say the Church of Revival in Ireland. And we must learn the lesson from other churches in history. I ministered for 10 years in the land of Scotland. And what a tragic situation largely prevails in that land. The Church of Scotland stands as a beacon light of warning in that country. The Church of John Knox. The church that stood so strongly against Romanism and false religion. We could recount numerous mighty acts of God in the past through the ministry of that great church. But we look at it today as a monument to apostasy. Do you know, in Northern Ireland, it was only 67 years after the 1859 revival that a right modernist was exonerated in the Irish Presbyterian Church, J.E. Davy. His evil teachings were upheld in the General Assembly of the Irish Presbyterian Church. It was only just 50 years after the disruption of 1843, when the Free Church of Scotland was formed, that a rank modernist, A.B. Davidson, became the moderator of that church. Think about it. There is, friends, no inbuilt immunity in a church to apostasy and departure from the truth. You could hardly imagine it, could you? That a church where a man stands preaching the blood of the book would, within some years, maybe some decades, preach the very opposite. But yet I could take you to church after church after church where that is exactly what has happened. And in its outlook for the future, from this particular 70th anniversary, our church, and I'm referring to the Free Church of North America, to the Free Church in Ulster, and in various other countries, wherever it's represented, the family of churches. Our church needs to have two things. And I'll try to be as brief as I can. Our church must have great vigilance. The word that's used in Deuteronomy 8 is beware. There's a need to be watchful. Tell me, how did once great churches and denominations get to the place where they are today? How did they ever end up in the state that they're now in? Surely there was a lack of vigilance. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he warned him, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Watch thou in all things. In Old Testament days, there were men who used to stand upon the walls of the city. They were called watchmen. Those watchmen, those in that position of responsibility, were there on the walls to warn the people of any approaching danger, of any enemies that were coming to do them harm. You can read about it in Ezekiel chapter 33, where the Lord speaks of Ezekiel as a watchman to warn people by his mouth. And I'm telling you that departure from the faith, apostasy in once great churches must be the consequence of watchmen having forsaken their watch on the walls. It must have happened. There must have been somewhere a lack of vigilance. And I know this, that as Free Presbyterians in our denomination, we are no better than many other churches have been. We need to be vigilant. Our ministers need to keep blowing the trumpet of warning. We need to continue to set forth Christ. We need to continue to preach the gospel of Christ, that there is no salvation outside of Christ. We must preach atonement by Christ's blood alone. You read in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 the story of seven congregations, seven churches: Ephesus, Thyatira, Pergamos, and so on. You know that those seven churches are not only now gone, but they were gone within quite a short time of Revelation 2 and 3 being written. And they couldn't have said that they weren't warned, because Revelation chapter 2 contains the words of Christ to the church at Ephesus in verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else. Or else what? Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. And if you look at it, the candlestick or the lampstand represented the actual church. In other words, if you don't repent and do the first works, I'm going to come and I'm going to remove that church out of its place. The bearer of light in that city, the candlestick, the lampstand, he says it'll be removed. And that happened, friends. And God left not only that church, but those seven churches. I've thought of this, that the Free Presbyterian Church at its very beginning had good watchmen. I was always thankful for the ministries of men like Dr. Paisley and Reverend Ivan Foster and others who would produce books and pamphlets and periodicals and keep before the people the issues of the day. They were watchmen, warning about the issues of the day. Where are the watchmen today? The church must have great vigilance, and as far as the outlook of the church is concerned, the church must have gospel vision. It must have gospel vision. In the book of Joshua, chapter 13 and verse 1, the Lord said something to the elderly Joshua. He said, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. What a statement that is. There remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Basically, after 40 years, they still had not possessed the land that they could have. And even later on, the Lord told Joshua there was still much land that the Israelites had not conquered. And is there not a lot of scope yet for our church and for like-minded churches? For those other brethren who don't have our label, but who love the same Savior, is there not scope yet for the church? Can we not think of the words that Christ spoke in John chapter 4 and apply them to ourselves today? John 4 verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. We haven't scratched the surface yet, as far as outreach is concerned. Oh, that God would give us the vision to go in and possess the land. There's always a tendency in a dark day to become settled on your leaves. To be content with what you have and say, well, what we have, we hold. But men and women, and I would include other ministers of our church in this, we need vision. There's a magazine that is produced by the denomination in Ulster, and it's called Vision. The Vision Magazine. Do we have a vision? Do we see the situation as it really is? Can we see those souls that are lost in sin and who cannot find their way? Do we have a gospel vision? Do we have a vision for a great revival? I'm just like the next person. I can get discouraged as quickly, maybe more quickly than others. But I know this. The promises of God are true, and the Lord can change things. There have been very dark days before in church history, and God has come down in power. And our denominations, we have seen in the Free Presbyterian family great things in the past, but I also think it's true to say that there has been a lull, there has been a dip, there has been some, shall I say, departures. Folks who have gone on to glory who have not been replaced. There has been some shrinkage. And yet the Lord is still able to send us days of heaven upon the earth. The Lord can fill the empty seats. The Lord can replace the saints of God, the prayer warriors that have gone before. I was speaking with one of our brethren back in Ulster some time ago, and he was referring to some of the prayer warriors that he had known in his church. And he said to me, brother, they're gone and they're not being replaced. And oh, how we miss them. Should we not be praying that the Lord will raise up a whole new band of prayer warriors? God is able. Should we not pray more earnestly for revival? The Lord has told us in His Word, there remaineth yet much land to be possessed. And that's true of the mission fields of the world today. It was said of one great preacher that the world was his parish. And we know that our Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd of the sheep, said in John 10 and verse 16, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. You know what that means? There are souls yet to be reached. There are souls yet to be saved. The elect of God are yet to be brought in. And yet we know that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. And yes, today, 70 years later, we can thank God for all that He's done over these decades, but yet how much still remains to be done. We've got young people in our churches yet. And perhaps the Lord has a great purpose for many of them in His work. Perhaps somebody that's watching this broadcast, a young woman, and you're thinking about what direction your life is going to take. What is it that you're going to be? What is it that you're going to do? Did you ever stop to think the Lord might call you to be a Mary Slessor? Or an Amy Carmichael? Or someone who would serve the Lord along with a godly husband in ministry? There are young men perhaps watching this, and you're wondering what it is that the Lord would have you to do with your life. And maybe tonight the Lord is putting His hand upon you to preach His word. And maybe you're like a young man that I knew many years ago. And you think to yourself, well, I could never go to a hospital and sit beside somebody's bed and talk to them. I wouldn't know what to say. I could never go into somebody's home and open the Bible and minister to them. I wouldn't know what to say. I couldn't come up with new sermons every week in a church. I wouldn't know how to study like that and be able to come up with sermons like that every week. I could never be a minister. Well, you're looking at that young man. Because that's what I thought. And I've never yet had to stand before a congregation and have nothing to say. Listen, there has to be a willingness on your part to do the will of God. Not every young man is called to be a minister. This is true. Not every young man or young woman is called to go to the mission field. This is true. We are called to serve the Lord, wherever we may be. But what if the Lord did want you to be a missionary? What if the Lord, young man, wanted you to be a preacher of the gospel? Would you not say to the Lord tonight, here am I, Lord, send me? There are other churches and other people in this world serving the Lord. We're not responsible for their work, but we as a church need to get on with fulfilling the Great Commission. There'll never come a time when we'll be able to sit back and relax because our task, our work is already done. It's never done. Gospel vision needs to be always before us, at home and abroad. It must ever be our focus. There's a legacy that has been left to us. Other men labored. We're entering into their labors in many cases. Let's continue to do the job that the Lord has called us to do. May we be able, by grace, to go in and possess the land for our God. May the Lord bless us. And may the Lord bless you as you seek to serve Him. Amen.